Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Pedagogy Matters podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to bring to the fore some key topics of conversation in relation to learning and teaching, to discuss, break down aspects of practice, and provide snippets, advice, and guidance as to how to integrate these into our daily practice. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by a number of colleagues. So we've got Val from SQA. So Val, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, good afternoon, Johnny.
And I'm joined by two wonderful colleagues from South Lancashire College, from Jane and Mary. So Jane, Mary, how are you two?
Yeah, good, thank you. Thanks.
Excellent. And I think what would be useful is just to introduce listeners very briefly to each of your roles. So Val, I'll come to you first, and then we'll kind of go around the others there. So Val?
Hi, thank you. Yeah, I'm Head of Next Generation Qualifications and Standards in SQA. That's a Head of Service role, and basically that means the Next Gen, HN project sits within my remit.
Fantastic. Thanks, Val. We'll unpick a lot of that as we go through the conversation. Jane, I'll come to you next.
Okay, I have been involved with NextGen from the beginning. So we are a pilot centre, Southland's one of the pilot centres, and I have been involved over the first pilot year and obviously this year as well.
Fantastic. And just for clarification, Jane, in terms of your role, Mary, if you don't mind?
I'm Mary, and I am working with Jane on the NextGen Childhood Practice project. We worked on it just the two of us last year, but we've expanded this year and there's now four of our team working on this, and we've tried to develop the units and deliver these units, and we're hoping we've been successful.
No pressure, I'm sure we'll find out there, but no, that thank you, that's really interesting. And just for clarification, Jane and Mary, you're in the childcare area, is that correct?
Yes, yeah, childcare.
Fantastic. So today I was going to talk about Next Gen and kind of what actually means in practice. That's the purpose of it. So Val, I'm going to kind of point this towards you initially. So to the untrained eye, people, I don't know, what is HN Next Gen? What is it, and how is it different to previous qualification?
Okay, so you might have to keep me on track here, Johnny, because although that's one relatively short question, it is quite a big answer. In short, Next Gen is our SQA project, or the process that we're applying within SQA to update our higher national and vocational qualifications. We decided to start with our higher national certificates and higher national diplomas, and we've taken a service design approach to our work. In short, that just means that we're focusing on meeting the needs of learners and centres, and our work has a very strong emphasis on continuous improvement and collaboration. And that word collaboration, I'm sure, is going to come out up time and time again throughout our conversation today. We collaborate at all stages of qualification development and pilot delivery to make sure that we've got that continual feedback loop, and it's that feedback that is driving the enhancement of our Next Gen products. So that's what Next Gen is. You also asked what's different, and I'm going to start with a similarity, if you don't mind. So our HN Next Gen qualifications, just as our original HN qualifications are designed to support learners' progression either into employment or assist them with articulation to further study in a higher education institution or as a qualification in their own right. So straight away, there's no change there. We're still focused on employment, higher education, and as qualification in their own right. And all learners who have achieved a Next Gen HNC exit with 120 SEQF credit points. In terms of what's different, I do have a list, okay? So I don't want to miss anything out. We started with our design principles, and those design principles are those flexible fences. They are the touch points, the key aspects that we are trying to adhere to make sure that the products we produce at the end are genuinely a Next Gen qualification. So we're focused on larger and fewer units of learning, very much focused on encouraging integrated learning and assessment approaches. We know one of the criticisms that we do face with our HN qualifications relates to assessment load. So we are trying to significantly reduce the assessment load both for learners and staff. we've introduced a new approach to grading. We've moved away from the single graded unit to whole qualification grading. We've embedded opportunities to develop meta skills. Meta skills are something that you'll see referred to in a variety of different ways, sometimes 21st century skills, but our meta skills, perhaps our softer skills, are embedded in the qualification. Similarly, we embed the opportunity to develop knowledge and understanding of learning for sustainability and the UN sustainability goals. We are embracing digital technology where appropriate. We have implemented a new process for our external quality assurance, again based on that stakeholder feedback. And last but not least, both the HNC and the HND are now standalone qualifications, each worth 120 SEQF credit points at level 7 and level 8 respectively. So quite a lot in there, but that is a brief synopsis of what is different for next gen.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks. That's really interesting, kind of really wide ranging overview. And obviously the purpose of the conversation as we go through is to kind of unpick that and actually look at what that means in practice, especially when our practitioners come in. So last little bit from NextGen for me, can you tell us a bit about how it started, kind of why, what the motors were, but also how long the project has been going for now?
Okay, so if you dig back into the NextGen archives, there was activity way back in April 2018, where there was a proposal to undertake activity similar to our current NextGen project. There was quite an extensive consultation period. I'm sure many people listening to this podcast will remember that work, and that carried on until March 2019. We no sooner initiated NextGen HN as an official project, and then COVID struck. So there was a slight, I wouldn't say that nobody was paying any attention to NextGen, we absolutely were, but we recognised that other activities had to take priority. The NextGen team and the NextGen project in its current format really started to gather pace in the tail end of 2020. And the NextGen core team, the NextGen project, as we know it now, has been active really since the end of 2020, beginning of 2021. So that's a bit about the history. In terms of what's happened in that time and what the output has been is really since that 2021 date, we have now developed 20 qualifications covering 13 different subject areas, and those qualifications are being delivered in our pilot centres. We've got more developments in the pipeline too, but we'll probably come back to them later in the conversation.
Great, thanks for that. It's really interesting. Like you say, it's so in qualification terms, it's really quite new. It's been going on for a while in terms of planning preparation, but it's really quite new, I think. That's where now the conversation with Jane and Mary in particular comes in and kind of really helps bring that to life. So it's a nice little segue there. So Jane, Mary, how long have you two been involved in NextGen and kind of how have you filmed so far?
Well, as we were doing this, we were had a wee look at what we were going to be asked today, and I thought, when was that? All I remember now is NextGen, to be honest, because I've done it for so long. So I had to check back my emails and I had to go back to the boss. And actually, it was the 31st of August 2021 that we put our tender in, and I'll never forget my boss at the time. She pulled, I've been lecturing for 17 years, and she pulled me in and she said, how are you feeling about HNC? I went, it's stale, I've had enough, you know, I need a new job, Linda, you know. And I was just having a kind of a rant that I do, and she said, oh, we've got this opportunity for NextGen, do you want to go for it? And she explained it, and that's kind of where it went. Back then, I actually had the emails for the tender to go to quality and things, and obviously we were selected, so that was amazing. So I have been really involved personally since like then. I've been to all the meetings, I'm on the QDT for it. So we do the QDT's quality development team, the MD's unsure what that is, but so that's you. And
then once we knew that we were successful as being a pilot, I was drafted in, which was round about I can't trace my emails back as well as Jane, but May, June 2022. And Jane and I were het for developing Next Gen for South Lanarkshire College.
And it's been brilliant. I'm not going to lie, we love it. I get really excited. So see if I speak really fast, do tell me to slow down, because I am so excited by the developments. It's unbelievable. It's been challenging. It's been a huge challenge. We are very lucky at college. We've been given some time, both of us.
Development time.
So we have been very, very lucky to be able to use that. But I just think we needed it. You know, we've been so stale for so, so long. We needed that change. It's been great. This year, I would say, is a wee bit harder, a bit more challenging.
Different challenges. I don't know that it's harder, but there's different challenges this year to what we had last year.
Because there's more staff involved. Mary and I work really closely together. So we're on the phone 6 a.m, 7 a.m, because we're just lived work, you know, and things. But we are getting there. It's just about us making it work for us, and I think it'd be different no matter where you go, really.
No, absolutely. Let's dig in that a little bit more. So you said it's great, you know, your positivity is infectious. So why is it good, or why is it so much better than how it was previous? Kind of, what about it?
It's because it's just so different, right? So basically what it's done is, instead of being so prescriptive what you need to teach, it opens up and allows you to teach what's relevant to you. Childcare changes daily. Right, it's not static. Whereas in the old HNC, it would say teach this, how many, it would teach when to teach it, la la la. See, now you actually teach what you want and you make that work.
I changed my career in 2009 from banking, and I came to college to do an NC and an HNC. So I was doing my HNC in 2010. And before Next Gen, we were still teaching the same materials that were taught in 2010. Now, the world had changed since 2010, but we were still training practitioners on the same basis that I learned 12, 13 years ago. Next Gen moves with the times. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important that we have access. We've just come off a meeting that was all about AI. Next Gen is moving with the times. The traditional HNC doesn't have the flexibility to allow us to do that, but Next Gen does, and it allows us to move with the times and our students to see that it's current and it's moving with what's required of them at any given moment in time.
I also think what's really important is it's taken out all the bump that we don't need. I know that I shouldn't say that, right? But might as well just be honest, sure, yeah? Mm-hmm. So what it's done is, I keep saying this at every meeting we go to, it allows that depth of teaching. So you're not just skimming over every single subject. You're actually giving students that insight and that want to go and learn and do more. And the depth of knowledge they're coming out with, you see it in their written tasks, you see it in their oral tasks, you see it in their assessments. You have to see it to believe it. You know, I know that sounds really, really strange, but you do. But you also have to embrace it. You know, you've got to want it. And if you don't want it, it can be hard because people don't like change. I love change. So for us, we have totally taken this on. But we've changed everything. We've changed our teaching. We've changed our assessments because we're using it. You know, we've had this opportunity. Let's take it and run.
And some of our colleagues look at us as though we've got horns when we say we actually enjoy marking assessments now, because every assessment is different. The students aren't regurgitating the same information. They're doing a lot of their research themselves. They're taking it in the direction that they want to take it. I have to be honest, the amount of learning that we have done from reading assessments is enormous, because the students are totally engaged in what they're doing and they're really delving into things much deeper than they did before.
We call it provocations, because obviously we're childcare, right? So that's how we kind of changed everything. So what we do is we say to them, we give them snippets, but we give them that snippet and then they go, what's that? And then they go and do it. They say, Jane, did you know this? And I go, yeah, I did. But, you know, so it's about getting them. You're actually basically, you're giving them wee things to let them go and do what they want to do. And some students do more than others, and that's fine. They do it to the level they want. So it's so good.
And in childcare, we're talking all the time about children learn through being active learners. We expect children, you know, we feed children a wee bit of information and ask them to look at it themselves. That's what we're doing with students. Why are we teaching our students how we want children to be taught if we're teaching them a completely different way? So actually, we're just we're practicing what we preach.
We do.
Really? We do. I think that's the best way to describe it.
No, I think that's really interesting. Like I say, you're kind of, your positivity is infectious. And I was going to pick a little bit more on the students and how they found, which you kind of shared a lot there, that kind of, there seems to be a lot more autonomy, a lot more independence, a lot more development. And I think it's difficult because we always look through things that we enjoy with rose-tinted glasses compared to things that maybe we didn't enjoy. But let's kind of explore a little bit more on the impact on students now compared to, say, 5 years ago. What impact do you think, you've touched upon a little bit there, but what impact do you think it's had on them, whether it's skills, independence, confidence, or all of the above? What do you think, or what are you seeing in the classroom?
We are seeing so much, it's really hard to pinpoint. So can I tell you, kind of a typical day would be us, that we teach backwards, right? Yeah. So I kind of teach backwards. So I don't use PowerPoints anymore. I've got one for observations, I'm not going to lie, because that's really hard to teach without a PowerPoint, right? But yeah, but I really don't have PowerPoints. We don't use them. We kind of use provocations. We use things to try and get them intrigued into whatever we're doing. And then from that, I'll then teach. I'll kind of, whatever I've done, so it's always active. It's very, very active. Our lessons are always usually using childcare. We use a lot of play. We use a lot of kind of visiting speakers and things now. And then we'll use that and meet the evidence requirements that we're needing to. So what that does is, for students, they're intrigued. They want to do it. They have confidence in what they're learning. They have autonomy, as you've said before. I think we are placing a lot of emphasis on meta skills at the moment. So we're trying to integrate that in absolutely everything we do. They're getting better. We're really good this week. We're really good this week. So I think I've seen them develop a lot recently with leadership, you know, and teamworking and confidence. You had students starting in August that honestly they couldn't come into a classroom, and see now they're standing up doing a presentation, or they're standing up talking about an activity.
We had a student last year who couldn't have a conversation with you unless she was standing beside the door so that she could get away. If her mental health, she had real issues. By the end of term, she was standing up and she was delivering presentations to the rest of the class. Her confidence had grown so much because she didn't feel the pressure to learn facts all the time. And we'd one student who had a perfect quote.
Yeah, she said, this is lovely.
We like these classes because they're not teaching us facts, they're teaching us how to learn. And we thought that was brilliant, because that's what we're doing. We're not giving you all the facts that you need to know. What we're doing is pointing you in the direction of how to learn, because it's not going to finish on June the 7th when we finish.
No.
Learning's a journey. I hate that word, but that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Their learning is a journey. And that's what NextGen gives us the opportunity to do.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting, because often when I talk to colleagues, when I was teaching in particular, colleagues outside education ask me what I do, and I say I prepare the future workforce. And in fact, that's what we do, but we don't realise that, because often it's course, start, finish. But actually, you know, that's how education should be framed. And obviously, NextGen allows that flexibility. But what I would say is, and this would be my unfounded opinion, not all NextGen will currently be delivered in this way. It can be, those flexibility, but it's not easy to do. So I guess the next question for the two of you in particular is, You've learned a lot over the last 2 years. You've made some mistakes. You've done some things which are great. You'll probably do some things that you would never do again. So to any new lecturer engaging within this process, anybody picking up this programme from scratch, what advice do you give them? Or what advice would you give them, rather?
We said, the very first thing that we said, both of us, we didn't even know each other. We both said, embrace it. Yeah. And that, honestly, that's the only thing. There's people that won't want it, that, you know, even their staff.
Yeah, traditionalists.
Yes, they're scared. It's maybe something you don't know if you've been teaching a very long time. And, you know, you still get staff to say, what PowerPoint do you want for that? And you think, well, that was maybe 5 years ago. We maybe need to change that. But it's about using the opportunity. So see, because it takes away all that bump that you don't need, you have time to do the fun things to make it link. But see, when you do that, you're enhancing the students' learning. You're making it better for them. So they're actually retaining the information. So yes, you might be taking longer to go over a subject. So for example, observations, I taught that last week. We'll probably do that over 3 or 4 weeks, right? Now, you couldn't do that in the previous HN. But do you know what? See, the 4 weeks, you're getting less remediation and assessments because the students know what they're talking about, because you're doing it in a different way. So if we're and I know it's not everybody can do it the way we're doing it and practically, but try and use that opportunity to say, right, well, how can I make this work? Because what will happen is, see that effort you put in from the very, very beginning. And as I say, we've been very lucky. We've had time. I don't take anything away from that. But you're going to reap the rewards at the end, because you're not going to have, I heard Val saying earlier on about, you know, less than the assessment workload, 110%, you know, it's better for students. And also then what happens is the students don't have that pressure of assessments. So they're enjoying college. You know, there's just so much good to it.
And you said that our enthusiasm was infectious, but our enthusiasm is because our students are enthusiastic. Yeah. If our students weren't enthusiastic, it would be really hard for us to be as positive. Yeah. But we both teach on a Friday and we teach next door to each other. And we go in on a Friday, looking forward to a Friday. Yeah. Because sometimes we don't know what we're going to come across. We don't know what's going to happen. We've kind of planned something and a student can come in and say something and we think, ah, right, we need to change today. We're going to talk about something completely different just because perhaps they've had a safeguarding issue in their placement. So, right, that's a perfect opportunity. We're going to talk about safeguarding. You have to be really flexible with this. And I think some colleagues might struggle with that, but we would say to them, run with it. Because the benefits are enormous, and the benefits are not just for the students. The personal benefits that we've had have been, as I say, we're enthusiastic about our work, and we had lost that enthusiasm.
Yeah, but it's about making it, like, I know it sounds sad, but it's about everything. So whatever's current in your area, because I know Next Gen is just not childcare. We're very lucky because education is our background, right? And I do understand that from way back when I finished college at age 17, right? So I do understand that, but it's about whatever's current for you, you can actually make work. You can make it link. You know, you just have to maybe open that out, because things are more open to interpretation. It's not so strict.
No, I think that's really interesting. And I'm going to come back to you in a moment. I'll go to Val first, though, but just kind of ponder this, is with that greater flexibility you have, it can be quite challenging for people that maybe used to rigidity and structure. So any advice that you may have, let's say, pause on that. I'll come back to you in a couple of minutes to think actually, well, what principles maybe could drive that, whether that be engagement with industry or whether that be kind of speaking to other colleges. But Val, so we've talked there about there's loads going on. I'm going to jump down to additional resources. So centres, we've talked about, there is, it's new principles, new approaches. What resources do you have to help new centres or help new practitioners engaging with this?
Thank you. This wasn't set up, I promise, but I am going to pick up on the meta skills and use that as a good example. So we know, you know, that Jane, Mary, they are experts in childcare. Not only are they experts in childcare, childhood practice, they're experts in knowing their own employers, the destination of their students and the local environment that they are working in. You know, so we are certainly not coming in and prescribing how childhood practice should be delivered in South Lanarkshire College. You know, that's not our expertise. That sits, as I say, with Mary and Jane. What we are very focused on is giving a lot of structured support for our centres to explore their local delivery, to explore their assessment, etc. And again, there are so many ways in which we do that. I'm not going to list all of them, but the meta skills is a good example. You know, we know that we've introduced meta skills as a mandatory part of our Next Gen frameworks, as a mandatory part of our qualifications. And that is new for everybody. You know, it's becoming increasingly well known, but people are delivering that as part of an HN qualification for the first time. So we have meta skills experts in SQA that are involved in research, engagement, that evaluation piece, and they in turn produce resources, whether that is guides, links to materials that already exist. You know, we're not the only people working with meta skills. But we've also produced a series of SQA Academy modules for practitioners so that our college teams can be confident about their thinking around meta skills and, you know, spark ideas in them about how that will work within their qualification. And in response to our learner engagement feedback as well, we've also developed a series of SQE Academy modules specifically for learners. Now, they're not compulsory. Every college can develop their own resources if they want. They're there to scaffold and to support. The feedback on that has been good. We know that we've got an evaluation tool for learners, and I mentioned that collaboration and that iterative process. We know that that evaluation tool, whilst useful, could be refined. So again, we're working on additional packages, additional resources to improve that service for next year's learners. We've taken a similar approach for learning for sustainability. Again, focusing on the aspects of the qualification that we can't reasonably expect every lecturer in a college in Scotland to be familiar with. So again, have been focused on capturing resources that already exist. And again, there's lots, you know, so a gateway, a hub, if you like, for those resources. And again, developing our own SQE Academy modules that can be accessed by practitioners or by learners as well to support their use for their own subject area.
Great, thanks, Val. So there's loads of support. We'll come back in a minute to kind of where they can be found. So Jane, Mary, we'll come back to you now in terms of, in amongst all that support from Val, which I'm sure you used, and you said at the start, there's kind of the whole host of things you engage with. What are your thoughts? What are your advice or any other aspects of what Val said that you found particularly interesting?
Do you know, there's loads to unpick from that, though. What I would say is the help from SQA has been amazing, right? Honestly, like, I can email Emma and she replies back to me in like 3 minutes, you know, and that I can, I'm a bit like that. I need a reply like yesterday, and she's great. She really does. And so is everybody. I've logged myself out of systems to access things. So it has been really good. But we were laughing because the first year of doing this, it was crazy, right, honestly. And one of our colleagues, we work really closely with Glasgow Clyde, that's our other pilot centre with childcare. And one of our colleagues there, she says, had to write it down to get this right, because this is so true. And she said, she always said, we've been writing the pattern whilst knitting the jumper. And I think, yeah, that's exactly what it's felt like for the first year. So Val's right in saying the amount of resources now is much better. Like, you know, we're giving it to staff this year, and we're going, if only we had that last year, if only. But do you know what? We did it last year and it was brilliant. So we did it, but it's better this year. Do you know what I mean? So it was better, it was good last year, but we're getting better. The meta skills resources, Val, that's been
a godsend.
That's been the best, as long as the profiler. I love the profiler. It's quite interactive. The students are using that, and they can go through the meta skills framework of what each meta skill is. So it can be independent learning as well, which we try to encourage from the onset and to keep going over it. So, yeah, I think it's been good. But I think Val's right. It's not prescript. You know, we do it. And the one thing that Mary said when you were talking about we don't tell you what to do, we work so closely with Glasgow Clyde. We do. We teach very, very differently, very differently. We assess differently. And how we teach, what we teach, completely different. But that doesn't mean one's better than the other. Do you know what that means? It means we're doing our job.
Glasgow Clyde has a completely different setup to us. We're one campus. They've got 3 or 4 campuses, and their lecturers are based everywhere in different campuses. And they've only been teaching Next Gen on one campus, so the lecturers are coming there to teach, maybe in an unfamiliar room, things like that. We've been very fortunate in the sense that we are one campus. We had one class last year. We've got 2 classes this year. It's worked really well for us. I can see how other colleges might have different challenges than we've had, but I think lecturers should all be well enough qualified that they should be able to adapt to this. And we need to recognise that as lecturers, we have a responsibility to move with the times as well. We cannot expect our teaching to stand still. And I think Next Gen challenges you in that. And you have to adapt to that challenge and accept it and move on, because the world changes. So how can we expect that our world doesn't change along with it?
Do you know what one of our students said last year? I may be veering off, but you can, I think it's important, right? So we do HND childhood practice as well. And a few of our students last year said they were a bit unsure about going on HND. And we were like, oh, why is that? You know, as you do. She's like, because it's not next gen, we call it next genified. And she says, because it's not next genified, because we teach so differently. And their college experience was so good. And do you know, we think that did make an impact on our HN numbers, or HND numbers this year. More went to uni last year.
Yeah.
But it just shows you, because they like the depth, they like the autonomy, they like how we do it. You know, that's why. And I don't actually think you need loads of resources. Yes, you need your meta skills and you need your things that Val was saying, but we source our resources, because I don't want SQA telling me what to do. I don't mean that in a bad way, but SQA doesn't know my job, you know, like I know it, and I want that freedom, I want that autonomy. Val said at the beginning, we're experts, and I thought, you know, we are actually experts. So give us that, you know, allow us to use our expertise and our knowledge to fulfil our role that best suits our students. And what we taught last year is different for this year, because our students are different, they're in different placements.
Yeah. So, and that's key, like I said, flexibility is an aspect that keeps coming through. It's embracing that flexibility, making the most of that. But not mindful of time, I think we're kind of finding a few questions now. I think that's really, really interesting. Like you said, the bit there about it's different last year to this year because of students, that I think is at the heart of what Next Gen is and should be. It's what kind of how we maintain that and how we, I'm going to say, celebrate that difference. Mm-hmm. Because having all my colleagues I work with, they like that rigidity and set structure and this, that and the other, you know, whereas actually this gives a lot of flexibility, like you see, within those set parameters, which is really interesting. So Val, where are we at now as a project, and kind of how is it look moving forward?
Hey, so at the moment we have successfully delivered a number, those 13 different subject areas, for at least 1 year now. Some in the second year of pilot delivery, and the feedback that we have been getting from those activities have absolutely informed our next steps, you know, whether that's with materials development or any other aspect of Next Gen. We are now at the stage with our evaluation, which has been quite extensive, that we are confident that the design principles that I referred to way back at the start of this conversation, quite some time ago now, are the right things to be doing, you know, and that the meta skills, for example, because we keep mentioning them, you know, absolutely should be a key part of our next gen qualifications, because that's helping future-proof our learners' learning, their ability to learn. So we have prioritised a number of other qualifications for next gen development, and they are just going into the development cycle just now. I can give you a wee quick rundown there, because I know people listening will be saying, what are they? The list will be appearing on our website very soon, but we're looking at administration and information technology, the full built environment suite, creative industries art-based practice, creative industries performance-based practice, healthcare, and the maritime suite of qualifications. So again, our national qualifications, you know, that have large uptake and a really significant impact on the centre. The prioritisation has not just been numbers based. There has been strong encouragement from many quarters, officially, particularly in the healthcare practice area, you know, to encourage us to get that qualification in the next gen space. So that's all great. We are replacing some parts of our IT system, and that is progressing well as well. And just as soon as that's in place, we'll be able to start moving our pilot qualifications from that official pilot phase into a more business as usual space.
No, that's great. Thanks, Val. And then for anyone who wants to find out more, where do they go? Obviously, SQA's got a website, which has got a next gen aspect to it, but kind of where's the best place to
start? The quickest and easiest thing to do is just to Google, and I know other search engines are available, NextGen HN, and the first site that comes up should be our official Next Gen website. That website gives you access to our SQA Academy modules that we've been referring to, and has landing pages or tiles for meta skill support, learning for sustainability support, etc., and also gives all the detail about who's delivering what in each phase. You can also subscribe to our Next Gen newsletter and keep an eye on the website for promotions about other events and activities.
Excellent. Like I said, it's a one-stop shop where every bit of information kind of is present. But no, I think that's fascinating. And it shows, like I said, those words I've taken, which I'm going to mention again, is that flexibility and kind of relevancy. And it gives lecturers that autonomy to really develop a qualification that actually makes their students and learners autonomous and kind of like I say, prepares them to be that future workforce. You know, so I think it's going to be really, really interesting. And in particular, Jane and Mary, your perspective from self-management is fantastic because, like I say, the energy and enthusiasm is, you know, is at the heart of kind of your conversation there. And it sounds like it's kind of given the two of you kind of new lease of life to actually enjoy what you do because, yeah, absolutely being a lecturer, working in education can be quite monotonous at times and frustrating, you know. So I think that's kind of really, really refreshing. You know, so kind of, yeah. Fantastic to hear that story and kind of look forward to kind of seeing any future case studies and examples and so on and so forth there. And I guess my final point that I'll be sharing is it shows the importance of, I've been a big believer in this both as a lecturer, both in his current role, of lecturers talking to the lecturers from across the sector. Not to steal their ideas, not to just copy other people, but to really share your and kind of develop your perspective further to understand how other people are approaching the same problem and challenge. And the analogy I use far too much in my current role is looking over the fence to either nick people's ideas and make them your own or think, oh, actually, I'm doing it right here. Because being a lecturer can be quite lonely and it can be quite isolating. So I think that's really, really important. So I know you're going to come in there, Jane. I'm not sure if there's any final points from yourselves.
No, just to say as well, though, you're saying about kind of sharing practice. Like I share everything, right? So if anybody wants anything, just give me an email. It's absolutely fine. I just make sure with Emma that I'm allowed to share it. And I've checked everything right that I'm allowed to share now. But we've had so many colleges come and visit us because, honestly, just... We don't mind, you know. I would like to think that would be for me. We could do the same. So we've had loads of colleges come. We've got another one still trying to. We're trying to arrange with timetables, and we'll share things. You know, I just say share it. If you see something that you don't like, don't use it. If you see something that I might need to change, let me know. I'm not precious. So I think that's it, and that's what Next Gen's allowed us to do. Though it's allowed us to work together when we need to, or when it works for us. So yeah, no, I agree. Just. Let's do it together because what's the point of doing it? Let's kind of look at what we need to do together and let's share the workload as well because actually it might help us.
Yeah.
So definitely.
We work on the principle that nobody has all the answers.
Yeah.
You know, and it's exactly as you're saying, you know, what is the worst that can happen by sharing your experiences? You find out something new. Mm-hmm. You know, that's it.
Fantastic. Well, I think that's a perfect kind of point to press pause and kind of pause this conversation in for another day. But no, thank you all very much. Been really, really interesting, really insightful. Lots of great snippets in terms of information about Next Gen more broadly, but also about how it's being lived and breathed. And I think that's the key, but you are living and breathing this qualification, so your students, and that's why it's such a success. So thank you all very much for your time. Kind of really appreciate it. And well, I'm there. Thank you.
Cheers.